Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on Revelation up to the 20th chapter. We're down to the last three chapters of Revelation, actually the last three chapters of the Word of God. And as I mentioned, I think at the very beginning of our study, there's actually a debate hundreds of years ago. There's been a debate through the ages as to whether Revelation really belongs in the Bible or not. Yeah. Some people just say, no. But you know what? There's even more people that say, okay, it belongs there, but then they ignore it. I mean, they absolutely ignore it. I can point you to entire denominations of the body of Christ, and these are folks who I believe are truly saved. They profess their faith, okay, the accurate faith, and yet they sort of adopt an ostrich with their head in the ground mentality. And they'll say things like, it's okay. Parts of Daniel, most of Daniel, the Olivet Discourse, the Book of Revelation, portions of 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, huge portions of the prophets. Those are all already fulfilled. So we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to look at it. We don't have to pay any attention to it. We don't even need to read it. And they will not even allow their portion of the body of Christ to study that part of the scripture. And that should tell you a lot right there. So anyway, we're up to the 20th chapter. Just listen, we're just going to look at the first three verses, I believe, today. Listen to what's being said. Again, these verses are very, very well known, I would say. But just pay close attention. Verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven. So this is John again. He keeps seeing these things. He's seeing these things as they're revealed to him. And he will see an event, he'll see a thing, and he'll see what happens with that event, okay? So he may see it from beginning to end, and then he'll see something else, which backing up on the timeline might have happened in the midst of what he'd seen previously. You know, if you try to read it all as if it's chronologically, okay, this ends right here, then this next thing happens. In the beginning, the next thing has to be at the end of that first thing. That becomes problematic. He's just seeing snippets of things. And it's quite similar to the way that we even talk. We may be having a discussion, talking about this, talking about that, you know, talking about a great football team or something like that, you know, whatever it may be. And we'll say, yeah, you remember this? Yeah, you remember this? Remember that? And we're jumping all around within the timeline there. And so the same kind of thing is happening. He's seeing things, and he's receiving this revelation in the way that God wants him to see it. Don't ever lose sight of that. He saw an angel coming down from heaven. This angel, verse 1, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in or on his hand. So he sees this angel coming down. The angel's got a key of the abyss, the abyss. And, well, what's an abyss? It's a bottomless pit. It's boundless. It doesn't have any bottom, doesn't have any depth. Has no bottom whatsoever. So he's holding the key to the abyss. So apparently the abyss is a place. And he has a great chain in his hands. And that word for chain right there carries the idea of, yeah, of a big chain, but of manacles, of locks, how you bound somebody. Verse 2. And he, this is the angel, laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Let me stop in the middle of the sentence there. So we've already seen this. Where was it? Over in Revelation 12, we've seen some major hints about who this is. And Revelation brings this all together, what you see within the totality of the scripture. You see the dragon. The dragon is the serpent of old. He is the devil. He is Satan, the Satan, the adversary, okay, the tempter. So the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, the Satan, that's who this individual is. He is now laid hold by this angel who binds him for 1,000 years, verse 3, and he threw him into the abyss. The angel threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him. So here, the angel comes down from heaven, got the key to the abyss, great chain. He grabs a hold of the dragon, the serpent, the devil, of Satan, and he binds him for 1,000 years, which begs the question, why? Why just 1,000 years? Why not for, say, all eternity? And some people say, well, I thought he's thrown into the lake of fire. I thought we saw earlier over in the previous chapter that somebody's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Yeah, and will be. Mm-hmm. But here he throws him to abyss. And notice what happens. He shuts the abyss up. He seals it over him. Now, listen very carefully to the balance of verse 3. So that he, the dragon, devil, serpent of old, Satan, that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Wow. Okay. Now, why is he bound? Why is he thrown in the abyss? Why is he shut up? Why is he sealed over? We're told point blank. So that he would not deceive the nations any longer. So during this 1,000 years, he will not deceive the nations until the 1,000 years are complete. At the end of the 1,000-year period, after that, it says he must be released for a short time. Well, I wonder why he must be released. Well, I think we're actually going to see why. Okay, we're going to get some insight. We're not told point blank. Okay, but we can discern from what we are told why that must take place. I'll tell you right now, then we see it, I'll tell you again, right? I believe what's going on here is that Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. He's going to be falling for 1,000 years. If you get thrown into a bottomless pit, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be falling. He's going to be falling for 1,000 years. And he's not able to deceive the nations. And everybody goes, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. There won't be any more sin. There won't be any problems. And no. Because you find out that during this 1,000 years, which I think is the same thing as the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ here on the earth, remember how he's going to be ruling? We just saw this with a rod of iron. How he's going to be shepherding with a rod of iron. Why would you have to shepherd with a rod of iron if there wasn't some resistance? If there wasn't some problem, you find out that, you know, the scripture is pretty real clear about this, that during the 1,000-year reign of the Lord, there will be sin. There will be rebellion. There's an example given in the scripture of how those in Egypt don't come and worship before the Lord. They refuse to. Well, that's rebellion. And the Lord withholds rain from them. That's a punishment because of that. And so the picture is this, that man can sit there and say, well, the devil made me do it. Well, here the devil is bound away for 1,000 years. He can't deceive the nation. And yet man still sins. It shows that man still makes a decision to turn against the Most High God, even when the enemy and the adversary is not there tempting them. So I think that's sort of what's going on here. Why, after these things, must he be released for a short time? Because in that 1,000-year period, we're going to see that he's released, and then he rallies the nations of the world against God, against Jesus, against the Most High God. And then the Lord annihilates him with the breath of his mouth. He doesn't even fight, just deals with it. There we go. Yeah. There's a purpose to this 1,000-year reign. There's a purpose to this 1,000-year shutting up and sealing away of Satan. There is understanding as to what's happening here. Well, we'll look at it more as we go along. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.